Man. Hey, can we thank Hume just for the work that they put together on that film? And I mean, that's hours and hours of work, props, memorizing scripts, and all just so that we might get at least one truth from this whole story. In 1 Samuel 12:24, right? Only fear the Lord, serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done. And I loved how they kind of put this backstory of what could have been for Saul. Did you catch that? How it was just like, man, there were moments that he could have seized, and it would have been so amazing to see, oh man, if he would have just obeyed, right? If he would have just been faithful, he could have just seen a whole different life. And instead, he gets to the end of his life with regret, and there's all kinds of decisions that he starts to make, of course, that leads him down that road. But at the end of his life, he's realizing, what a fool I've been. What a complete fool I've been. And so let me read this scripture here of what we saw at the beginning of that film. In 1 Chronicles, actually, or let's go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 10:13. And again, Saul's at the point of his life where he is like so far removed from God and following him that he is so desperate, right? He's just so desperate that he's willing to do anything, to compromise everything he's ever known about right and wrong, good and bad, God and Satan, like all these different things, right? And he's so desperate, he's willing to do just whatever and compromise everything he's ever known. And here's what the verse says, it's up on the screen. Saul died because, and this is the reason why, right here, because he was unfaithful, unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted in a medium for guidance. Now listen, we're not going to get into, hey, was it really Samuel that he summoned, or was it some other spirit? Was it a witch? Was it a sorcerer? You know, was it Voldemort? You know, the name we do not speak of, you know? So like, who really was it? That's not the point here. The point is Saul died. He lost his way because he was unfaithful. I said this at the beginning of the week. God isn't looking for us to be successful. He's looking for us to be faithful, to be consistent. It's another word, right? In following God. And I love this word faithfulness because it applies in so many aspects of our life. Again, I mentioned, I think it was the other day, that I used to play some sports. And any athlete would tell you that it's consistency in the gym, it's consistency in your training, it's consistency in your eating and dieting over a period of time where you see results. It's not every January 1, I make a New Year's resolution to lose weight, and a couple weeks in, I'm done. Or it's not like sporadically, right, where you're like, I'm going to go, and then 2 months go by, and then I'll go back to the gym, and then maybe another month go by, and you get all this. You're never going to see the results that you want because it's inconsistent. You're not being faithful to your goal, right? You're not being faithful, consistency over time. There's a story. It's in history. It's in 1911. There was a South Pole expedition of two teams, led by two different individuals, one, a guy by the name of Amundsen, and another guy by the name of Scott. Amundsen and Scott. And these guys, no one had ever done this expedition before to the South Pole. This was brand new. This was like a new thing and definitely dangerous, right? They considered the cost. They spent, you know, tons of hours and weeks studying and training and learning how to survive this treacherous, you know, expedition that they were going to go on to the South Pole and back. And in 1911, they started out in this expedition, and these two teams had two completely different strategies. Scott, what he did and his team, and you can see this picture of his team here, or some of his team. Scott, what he did was he went as much as he could, as far as he could each day. Each day they would just go as long and as far and as hard as they could every single day. And then days that were hard, where the weather got really, really nasty, right? And it was bad. They would rest sometimes. Hey, today we're not gonna go out there. It's too dangerous. What we're gonna do is we'll just rest today. You know, we'll just take the day off. And then other days they would go like, man, they'd go 50 miles, right? They'd just go as hard as they can. And at the end of the day, you know, it was a beautiful day. They could definitely go a little bit farther. And at the end of the day, they would just, whew, oh, it's a long day. Wow, we took some ground today, right? Well, Amundsen had a different strategy with his team. What he decided to do was he went 20 miles every single day, regardless of the weather, regardless of the external circumstances around them. They said, we are going to go 20 miles every day. So even on days that were completely clear, the weather was great, and they knew they could go probably another 20 miles. It was this fanatic discipline that they had about themselves that said, nope, we're stopping at 20, and here's where we go. And then other days where the weather was bad, and it was hard, and they were going through, they were trying to get farther and farther, and they made their 20-mile march, and they did it. They would always hit 20 miles, this 20-mile march every single time. Now, both teams made it to the South Pole, but one of the teams on the way back, something happened. I'll let you know what happened in just a minute. I'll leave you kind of hanging there for a second. So here's the thing. We're at camp. It's the last day. We're all going to go home. And I get this from students all the time, where they're like, man, I love camp. I learned so much. It was great. I got to meet, you know, our small groups discussions were so amazing. Hey, I made a decision to do this. Hey, I'm feeling called to ministry. Hey, I said yes to Jesus for the first time. So many great things, right? And you go to camp and you're like, yeah. And I get this all the time from students. They go like, hey, but, you know, Miguel, I've been at camp before. You know, I'm a senior and I've been at camp before. And there's always like this camp high, right? And then like a couple weeks in and maybe a month goes by and then it kind of fades out. And then it's like, you had the camp high and now it's done. And I don't feel as close to God as I used to when I was at camp. And often when I talk to students, hey, when was the last time you felt the closest to God, right? Often the answer is, well, when I was at camp. Man, last year at camp, I felt so close to God there, man. It was just, I loved it. So how do we keep this fire going? You know, the victory circle last night was incredible. I'm like, whoa, what you just said is, whoa, that's a big deal. I mean, all these things, and I'm hearing stories. I'm talking with some of you guys. I'm going, wow, this is really great to hear these stories. How do we keep this fire going, right? Well, like any fire, it needs to be fueled, right? You need to add to it. And there are some disciplines in your life that can keep you spiritually fueled and keep that fire going. Think about it for a second, okay? What is it that we do at camp that's so different than every other place, than what we do at home? What do we do at camp that's so different? And it's rhetorical, but you just start thinking about it, and I just started listening to some things. I'm going, okay, what happens at camp, okay? There's a Bible lesson. Okay, cool. A couple times a day, but you got a morning routine, and you got an evening, you know, some Bible, okay? You've got worship, some incredible worship going on, you know, but you got some worship, some really great music. It's good, okay? There's some small group time, right? You guys get some community. Some bro time and some girl time, and you guys get to talk through some real life issues. Like, hey, what did Miguel mean when he said this? Was he speaking in Spanish? I didn't get it, right? Like, what's going on, you know? So great, like, let's eat this, right? Let's chew this up and let's talk about it, right? That's some small group discussion, you know? There's also fun. Let's not rule this out. Fun is part of discipleship. Fun is part of our life that needs to happen. You need to let go, be loose, shout a little bit, scream a little bit, dance a little bit, right? This is good. And so you guys have fun. You guys have these games that you play that are outrageous. I don't know where they come up with this stuff. But you guys come up from games going like, whoa, that was incredible, you know. Tie-dye is everywhere. And, you know, you guys are still trying to, like, scrub the stuff off your face. What is this green stuff coming off my face, you know? And so there's some fun with friends. There's a counselor. You have a counselor that you go to. You talk to them. You say, hey, I need prayer. Hey, can you help me with this? Hey, help me understand this a little bit more clearly. You have a mentor, counselor, teacher, pastor, shepherd, whatever. There is that person in your life that you trust, that you go to. Hey, I have that. You know, I meet with a clinical Christian counselor on a regular basis. Not because I'm crazy, right? Well, I am crazy, but not, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no like, oh, something's wrong with me. I have to go see a counselor, you know? No, it's because it's a regular healthy rhythm in my life. I need to check my heart. I need to check where I'm at. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good husband. And certainly I want to be effective in ministry. So I have a counselor I talk to regularly. Al Ells, the guy's like Yoda, man. He's like 85 years old, and like he stopped talking to him. He's like, it's like talking to Yoda. So incredible. All right. Anyways, there's accountability. There's accountability here. Do you know when you guys confessed some things last night at Victory Circle and you shared what was on your heart, there's a level of accountability that happens when you say it out loud? That's why everyone's timid to talk. That's what you're kind of fighting against, right? You're like, oh, should I say that? Should I say that, like, I've been not doing well and I need to follow Jesus? And should I say that? And should I say that, man, I really want to, you know, do this when I get back home, and I really want to lead a prayer group. I want to start something in my, should I say that? Because once I say it, there's accountability now. There's accountability here. There's accountability. There's time alone with God. Opportunities to share what God has done in your life with others. There's opportunities that you get to share. So all these things are good, and the list can go on. There are other things that happen at camp. And I'm venturing to say that most of you guys know that all these things that I just listed are some really good spiritual disciplines in your life. To have a regular Bible study, not just at your school, but outside, like in your home, in your living room, in your bedroom, and time with God. It's good for you to have your own worship time with the Lord. Do you know that I'm worshiping backstage? Do you know that often I'll just be driving and I'm worshiping in my car? You guys been walking around. If you see me with my headphones, I am listening and worshiping. You might not hear me, but I'm singing it. Do you have this worship lifestyle? Because worship isn't limited to a style of music. I think we've learned that this week. It's not just limited to hymns or contemporary or rock and roll or Hawaiian like groove. Like when I first heard it, I kept going like, why do I feel so happy right now? This is good. You know, the doxology makes me happy. This is so good. You know, I just want to smile and move. You know, this is awesome. So worship isn't limited to a style of music. It's a lifestyle. And some of you guys already know this. But let me tell you the secret here. I'm going to tell you the secret sauce to this. And I didn't learn this until about 5 or 6 years ago with some other men in my life and other people in my life, because I was doing like, okay, you could argue, but Miguel, I've done small groups, and Miguel, I'll do some Bible study. I memorized the book of James, you know, and I remember I did that. And hey, I've learned some things here too. And I go to church, you know, and it's kind of these different things that take place. You know, and it's kind of all jumbled together. Here's the secret here. This is my opinion. This is what I've learned. This is what I've practiced. I've seen the benefit from it. I've seen other people do it. I've seen other counselors encourage it. It's the word rhythm. It's the word rhythm, okay? I want you to think about it for a moment. I've learned a lot of you guys are musically, you know, inclined here. The word rhythm, it's really important, because rhythm is good for our soul. Rhythm is good for our soul. When there is a consistent rhythm happening on a day-to-day practical basis, it's good for our soul. What happens, what I see a lot as a church leader, as a pastor, I see often what people do is they'll have these different times and they'll change it up depending on their kid's schedule, depending on this schedule, depending on what happens at school or what happens at home. It's like, I didn't get to meet with God this morning, so I'm going to meet with him later today. Oh, I wasn't able to be in my, I've went a couple days without reading my Bible, but I'm going to catch up. You know, on Thursday, you know, I'm gonna read a few chapters. I'm gonna catch up. You know, I haven't been in church in a while, but you know what? I'm gonna do. I'm actually signing up for a mission trip. I'm gonna go a whole week. You know, or I'm gonna go to Hume, and I'm gonna spend a whole week at Hume. I feel like I'm gonna catch up with my church time. You know, my church attendance is gonna be up to speed now. And it's like these random ways of how we kind of live out our life. And to illustrate this, I'm gonna ask Chris, the drummer, to come out. Okay, because this is, again, rhythm, and how it works. All right, what's up, Chris? Let's say hi to Chris. We'll say, what's up, Chris? What's up, Chris? All right, Chris is great. He's a great drummer. He's the opposite left-handed drummer. I'm a right-handed. He's left-handed. This is good, man. So, yeah, if you didn't know, it's left-handed. So here's what it's like. Our life is so chaotic, and we do these random, not rhythm, but random times of when devotion and small groups and worship and Bible study and learning. We do all this, and it kind of sounds like all kind of clustered together. It's like, yeah, yeah, God is good. God is, oh, yeah, Lord, I feel your presence, right? Okay, thank you, stop, yeah. It sounds like utter chaos. And at the same time, we're like, I'm trying to hear the voice of the Lord. I think he said, you know, it's like, okay. And our soul gets like all torn apart. And it's like this practice that's so random. And it's like, and then you go to your pastor, well, I've done that. I've been in a group and I've read the Bible. And why isn't this working? Like, why don't I feel God? Why don't I feel this? And it's just crazy. It's just random, you know? And often, listen, when we feel that chaos in our soul, we start to question everything around us. We start to question purpose. We start to question why God. We start to question other things like, is this really how it's supposed to be? And then we start to fall into some anxiety and some depression. And I don't know about all this, right? There are so many people who live in chaos. In chaos. And let me tell you the modern day word that I hear all the time. When I say, hey, how are you doing? Or how's it going? They say the word busy. Oh, man, I'm busy. Right? Be crazy again. Right? Busy. It's busy, right? Keep going. You got to feel this. Yeah, it's just random. Oh, man, I'm busy. It's happening. Okay, you can stop. Okay. You see what I'm saying? It's chaos, but what? I mean, hey, how are you doing? Man, I'm busy. Man, just trying to keep up. Just trying to keep my head above water, man. I got stuff to do at school. I got stuff to do at work. I got, I have to babysit. My mom, you know, she's struggling with right now. So, some job situation. I got some family dynamics going on, man. It's hard. And I got my youth group. You know, they're expecting me to be there early tonight. And man, it's just, oh, I'm busy. And the word busy, you know, in and of itself, busy is not necessarily bad, but I think Satan uses that, right? I think Satan uses this. We're so tired. We're so weary, and our soul is weary. You know what busy might stand for? Buried under Satan's yoke. Just a thought. I'm busy. No wonder why God made the seventh day holy so that we could rest. Everyone take a deep breath. Selah, right? Right? So we can breathe. No wonder Jesus often withdrew to solitary places alone to be with God. Now listen, do not hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying don't work hard. Because you better believe that is godly. Work hard. What you've got in your life, work hard, heartily as unto the Lord, Colossians says. So work hard, do your best, absolutely. But what rhythm do you have in your life? Now watch, okay. Now let's say, okay, you're gonna start this rhythm, okay? Let's just start with the kick, okay, right here. There's a rhythm, okay? Yeah, got my Bible study going every morning, 10 minutes, simple, right? You just got it? Nothing's going to distract you from it. You keep it going. Then you add something else. Let's add another piece, okay? All right, you're like, all right, I got small groups now. It's good. You feel it? You're like, oh my, Miguel gonna like pop in lagers? No, I'm not gonna. It's like, you know, but you kind of want to, right? There's something about rhythm that does that, right? You know, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm gonna go to church every week. I'm gonna make sure I have some church time. Okay, and you add something up. There you go. And then all of a sudden you got this rhythm going. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You're like, I'm gonna keep it to this rhythm. I'm disciplined to it. And then all of a sudden, okay, add a feel now. Just go for it. Just boom. Yeah. That's called revival right there. You're just revival is happening now in your life, right? Wow. Let's go. Let's do this, right? Okay. All right. Yeah. All right, Chris. Thank you. All right. Oh, man. That's what our soul longs for, this rhythm in our life. And we have, and God has enabled us to choose. We have choice. We have choice. You want to know something that you already know? I'm going to tell you something you already know. You are as close to God as you choose to be. You already knew that, right? You are as close to God as you choose to be. So let me tell you what happened to these two teams. So Mutson and Scott, they go. One team again. Scott, as much as we can every day, random, when you look at the journal entries and some of the history of how they got the story, you literally start reading through like it's so random. Like, went 5 miles today, went 50 miles today, we rested today, we went 10 miles the next day. It's random. It was just what they could do, what felt right, you know? And they were kind of dictated by their feelings almost, right? You ever done that? Oh, I don't really feel like going to chapel this morning. I'm kind of tired. I don't really feel like going to a small group. I don't really feel like reading my Bible, right? We're going to feel all kinds of things. Hey, can I be transparent real quick? There are days I don't want to read my Bible. I don't feel up for it. I'm tired. Reading, right, doesn't always fuel me. Now, listen, you might be different than me. Probably are. For me, I don't read for fun. So you're not gonna see me read fiction. I read for information. Okay? So I don't read for fun, I read for info. Okay? And so reading sometimes I'm like, hey, I got the time and I don't feel up for it. So you see like Scott and his team, they just kind of feel whatever's right each day and it's so random, no rhythm. Mutson, on the other hand, 20 miles every day. Right? Every day, there's a rhythm. Boom. Faithfulness. Here's what happened. Scott and his team, the whole team, died 11 miles from the next supply depot on their way back. Him and his entire team died. Died. Mutson, on the other hand, came back, he and his whole team, on the exact day they planned it. Pretty incredible. Let me ask you this. What is your 20-mile march? 20 miles every day. Here's one of mine. I read a proverb every day. Whatever day of the month it is, right? That's the chapter I read. You know, Proverbs 1, it's August 1st. I'm going to read that one again, right? What's your 20-mile march? Regardless of what happens externally, regardless of what happens around you, what is that 20-mile march that you're going to have? Consistent, this rhythm. Because there are going to be days you're going to wake up, you're not going to feel like it. It's going to be a rainy day. There are going to be storms in your life, so to speak, that will happen, and it's going to deter you and discourage you from wanting to go do the thing that you know you're supposed to do, to meet with God. If you were to take just the rhythm of today, the rhythm that you've had this week, morning chapel, morning time, right? Bible lesson. I'm going to have some fun this morning, and then we're going to eat some lunch. Yes, eating is also part of the rhythm, which is another thing we don't do well. There's like we eat randomly, right, throughout the day, you know? I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not trying to advocate some kind of diet program for you, okay? Okay, but sleeping and eating is a very real thing that does affect your body, okay? We tend to eat and sleep randomly or in clusters, you know. I'm going to drink soda all day and expect to be hydrated with no headache or side effects, right? Or I see all the time, like on weekends, you wake up every day like at 6 a.m. for school, whatever, you get ready, and then weekends, it's I sleep until 2. You know, it's like, it's just, oh gosh. You get like depriving oxygen from your brain or something, you know, you're going to get all like irritable. That's happened to me. I've been so tired before, my rhythm was off, and all of a sudden I'm pumping gas at a gas station, and it says, please see attendant. And I'm like, I will cut you. No. Like, I'm so, like, you know, I'm like, mad. Why am I so mad right now? Rhythm. What's your 20-mile march? What's your daily time with God look like? If you were to just take some of the rhythm you've seen here at camp, take some chapel, morning, evening. What if you had a 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening? What if you just did that? What if you just said, hey, I'm going to go through a book of the Bible. I'm going to go through John. John's great, man. It's highlights, man. I love that, of the life of Jesus. What if I went through a proverb, man? I really want to just live wise. I want to learn more about wisdom. And what if I just each one day, one chapter, each day, whatever the day of the month it is, right? That's the chapter I'm going to read in Proverbs. What's your 20-mile march, regardless of what happens? Hey, I lost my job today. I'm going to meet with God still. Hey, something happened at school. I'm going to meet with God still. 20 miles, regardless of the weather in your life. Here's the bottom line. Motivation gets you going. Discipline keeps you growing. Motivation at camp is going to get you going. I've seen it. I have felt it here. I've talked to some of you guys. Motivation will get you going. It's the start of the year. You're motivated. I'm going to do well. I'm going to follow God. Be faithful. Serve Him faithfully with all my heart. Motivation gets you going. Great. But the discipline, spiritually speaking, the disciplines in your life will keep you growing, will keep you grounded. And that's something I've had to learn over time. You know, I look at the story of Amundsen and how he led his team, and it was random, and he ended up dying. Saul ended up losing his life. He was unfaithful, was not faithful to God. And I know, I think maybe, I'm venturing out to say that there might be some of you here in the room that you came to camp with a very chaotic life. It's busy, it's chaotic, you're tired, and your soul is weary. And you're like, man, I don't know. I need something. And maybe you've started to contemplate that, what's my purpose in life, and what am I supposed to do, and man, I'm getting anxious, man, I'm a bit depressed. I don't really know what's next for me. Let me just say this. You were created with heaven's intention. You were created with heaven's intention. Did you know that? With heaven's intention, with a plan and a purpose, with intricate detail. I can't even describe it because I'm not smart enough. With such a design that you had. You were created with heaven's intention, but listen, for the world's attention, to be the salt and light, to go and share your story with others. You know what I thought of? When some of you were standing and sharing your stories, those of you who are sitting listening to it, I bet some of you were saying, yeah, me too. Me too. I'm there. I think it's important to recognize that you guys are all in this together. And yes, God has a plan. Whatever call, mission, whatever God's leading you to, you were created with heaven's intention for the world's attention to be the salt and light. And you're like, Miguel, but I'm 15 years old, and you know, how can I change the world? You know, it's like so grandiose. You know, that line sounds really nice, but like, come on, I'm from Bakersfield, or I'm from St. Clarita, or whatever. You know, I'm like, what am I going to do really for the world? Let me say this real quick, because this, let me just say this. Extraordinary moves of God always begin with ordinary acts of obedience. Extraordinary moves of God always begin with shepherding sheep. David. Extraordinary moves of God always begin with ordinary acts of obedience. Hey, we need someone to help set up chairs. Do you mind? I want to change the world. I want to be king. Okay, all right. Extraordinary moves of God always begin with these ordinary acts of obedience. David came to Saul and said, there was a time I was just a shepherd boy. There was a time a lion came, and then a bear came. And then he became the giant slayer. Ordinary acts of obedience. And you know what most of us do with ordinary acts of obedience? We toss it aside. We dismiss it. We disregard it. We overlook it. It's not that big a deal. I'm really not doing much. I'm really not making a difference because, you know, we're a small town, or we're a small school, or we're this, or we're that, and let me tell another story. You remember the feeding of the 5,000? Remember how they brought this little boy with, you know, fish and bread, like tuna sandwiches, right? And they said, boom, multiplied, nod your head if you know the story, okay? Feeding of the 5,000, pretty popular. It's in all four Gospels, right? It's a pretty popular story. Let me ask this question. The boy comes up with his lunch. They multiply it. Miracle happens. That would have been awesome to be there. Who was the leader or person, babysitter, I don't know, mom, dad, uncle, aunt, person in that boy's life that woke up every single morning, crack of dawn, 5 a.m., and every morning, I got to make the sandwich for my boy or this boy, you know, I got to make every day, and probably telling themselves, what good is this really going to do? I'm making this bread, and, you know, put this, here's some fish here, and this is what I do. This is my life. I make bread and fish for a boy every morning. Who was that volunteer? Who was that leader? Extraordinary moves of God always begin with ordinary acts of obedience. So whatever ordinary act of obedience that you're doing, do not disregard it. God can take a simple, ordinary act like just bread and fish and multiply it to see the greatest miracle ever seen before, right? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. You guys have abilities and skills, man, I've seen it. But even more than ability, God's looking for your availability. Yes, you were created with heaven's intention for the world's attention. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. What is your 20-mile march? What are you going to do? Be like Nike. Just do it, right? What are you going to do every day? You leave here. You're saying, I'm changed. I'm different. This is now how I'm going to keep this fire going, because like King Saul, I am not going to go down this very dark road that leads to death, leads me away from God. I'm not going to do that. What's going to keep me lined up straight? No matter what, this 20-mile march, this fanatic discipline, no matter what happens every day, this is what I'm going to put in front of me. I'm going to meet with God every single day. No matter, it's not going to shake me, man. It's not going to shake me. I'm going to get a counselor to keep me accountable. I'm going to meet with them regularly. I'm going to meet with my small group. I'm going to lead this or do that. You're going to keep it going. What is that 20-mile march? It's simple as that. This rhythm. Rhythm for your soul. Rhythm for your soul. And watch this. Over time, you're going to see your soul start to feel full and filled. And you're going to be like one of those guys that you probably think, you're going to say like, why is that guy always happy? Why is that guy always joyful? Why is that guy, you know, why is that always happening? It's because this discipline to follow God. Man, I'm with Jesus every day. Why is Miguel so passionate on the stage? Because I've seen it, I've lived it, and I'm with Jesus every single day, man. And I want that for you. So 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord Serve him faithfully with all your heart. Serve him faithfully, faithfully with all your heart, and consider the great things that he has done for you. Let's pray. God, we are overwhelmed with your presence here this week and in this moment. Lord, there are students here that I know have had a lot of questions this week. There are students here that are searching, that are lost. There may even be some students here that have lived this sort of chaos in their life. There's no real rhythm. It's random. And so, God, I pray that whatever motivation they feel, whatever fire has started in their life, that you would give them and enable them to choose to continue to be faithful to you, to serve you faithfully with all our hearts. God, go before us. Help us to realize that you are more than enough, that you are everything we've ever needed, that our souls and our hearts ultimately long to be with you and you alone. Help us to recognize that. Be our heart's obsession, first and only in our life. God, we love you and we give you glory and honor and praise. And in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.